Praise God, Lord. That is what we do. That is our heart, no matter what we're going through. I'll tell you, the Lord just quickened a scripture to me this morning as we were singing that. And it's really something that echoes the valleys of things that the Apostle Paul went through. I mean, he had people coming after him just to try to take him out wherever he went. And he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise you, Lord. I just feel like the Lord is speaking through that word this morning. As we're singing and praising our way out of the valley, as we're declaring some things. So many times we put pressure on ourselves to have to know what to do or how to get out of this situation. And the Lord has a word for you this morning. He has an answer for you this morning about that situation. It might seem like checkmate. Everything you do is wrong. No matter where you go, there's no winning move. But God says this to you this morning. My grace is sufficient for you. Right where you are, you don't have to act. You don't have to try to make something happen. You're just going to sustain in my grace today and tomorrow and the next day. Then you will see the waters part. Then you will see the manna from heaven. Then you will see my provision. Right now, your job is to know that my grace is sufficient for you today. So you can praise today. You can lift up your hearts. You can lift up your hands. You can lift up your voice in praise to me today. Because my grace is still sufficient. And it's sufficient for you today. As you're boldly before my throne of grace, there is mercy and grace for you today to help in your time of need. I am a very present help in time of your trouble. I am here for you now. My grace is here for you now. So don't lean to your own understanding. Rest in my grace today. Know that I love you today, child. That I'm sustaining you today, that your life is precious to me. Be sustained in my grace today. And you will see in the days ahead, even as you look back, how I've sustained you. I can make you stand. I hold you up, and I'm holding you up now, child. Receive that grace to help, to be strengthened and comforted in my presence. In Jesus' name, praise God.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, this morning, we're going to go ahead and we're going to be continuing this morning the theme of God's love. And if you've been here for very long, the last several weeks, we've been just on a series of the love of God. Like I said, I'll usually do a love of God, you know, message at least quarterly, you know, just a real simple God loves you message. And I did my God loves you message, and God just wouldn't let me go away from that. So we've been hanging out in the love of God. We've been hanging out in the God loves you message, and I'm telling you, I just sense like the Lord is keeping his love in our face till we just surrender and believe the love. You know, John, the Apostle John said, we've known and we've believed the love that God has for us. And as believers, we learn about the love of God, and we grow in our knowledge of the love of God. But I'll tell you what, sometimes our knowledge goes out ahead of our heart in what we've truly allowed our heart to open and receive. So this morning, we're going to go ahead and get started in Ephesians chapter 3, which has been kind of our our foundational scripture for this series, the apostle had a prayer. He said, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And again, we kind of talked about how this is a kind of a paradoxical prayer. You know, he prays that we would have the power to understand the dimensions of God's love, which passes knowledge. It's like, wow, you're praying that I'm going to understand something that passes knowledge. Then I'm going to understand it in something that's bigger than my head. I'm going to get a revelation of this love. Like the Apostle Paul prayed, I pray that you get a revelation of God's rich inheritance in you, the saints, his love for you. So there is an understanding of the love of God that you get by revelation. In other words, oh, God loves you, and that can be a little pat on the head. Ah, isn't that nice? You know, make you feel good about yourself. Well, there's that, but then there's a revelation where you see that he loves you that gives you boldness, that causes your roots to go down deep and secures you, and it becomes very hard to discourage you or scare you because you know that God loves you, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of God loves you that I know from my deepest, most inward being that he loves me, and as we've went through this series, we've talked about some different ways that we can explore that. There is prayer. We can intentionally pray, Lord, give me a revelation of that love. And he can give us a revelation of that love. We've talked about how there's also some ways that we can be intentional about, you know, getting from that seat of the scornful into those green pastures. In other words, going from a place of carnal mindedness to a place of spiritual mindedness. We can slip into some, you know, thought patterns that can be negative and jaded. And, you know, the Bible says that when you're carnally minded, you're not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And we can find ourselves there sometimes and right there have to say, you know what? Okay, I'm carnally minded. I need to intentionally set my mind on things above. Like we said, don't take it personal. We all hit these spots, and we all need to intentionally set our mind on things above, and then we begin to think and reason and see things from a spiritual perspective where there's life and peace. We can see the love of God. We have eyes to see and ears to hear what the love of God is saying. We've also looked at 1 Corinthians 13, which we call the quality of love, and that's just the definition. We say God's love is what? Well, it's patient. It's kind. It doesn't boast. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It's not rude. It doesn't think evil. We think of that as a checklist of how we're supposed to love, but we love because he first loved us that way. So when we see God loves us, we realize this is the way he loves us. This is the quality of love he has toward us. It's not just the to-do checklist that we're supposed to do for other people. We need to first realize and first believe and receive this is the amazing love that God has for us. So these are some different facets that we've looked at in trying to understand and grow in our knowledge of the love of God. But I want to look at another way we can grow in our knowledge of the love of God this morning. Another avenue that we can see and know and perceive things. The Bible says about Jesus this. He says, Matthew 13, later that day, Jesus left the house and sat by the lake shore to teach the people. Soon there were so many people surrounding him that he had to teach sitting in a boat while the large crowd stood on the shore. He taught them many things by using stories, parables that would illustrate spiritual truths. One of the powerful ways that the Lord communicated truth and revelation was through the use of stories. And stories are powerful. We know that stories can move us, they can bless us, they can speak to different, you know, part of our heart, our spirit that can cause us to see things, understand things. And so this morning, we're going to do that. We're going to take this vehicle as we understand God's love. And I'm simply calling the message today, God's love stories. Jesus told love stories when he was on the earth. Now, when we think of love stories, you might think of kind of the Hallmark stuff, especially as we're coming around this time of the year and you know, you watch some of those stuff, or it's Hallmark-ish or Hallmark-like stories, and you'll see the story of the workaholic somebody or somebody else. It's kind of a same old template, and then you kind of, you know, wait to the very end, and the romance is completed, but they kind of figure it out, and it's getting bad and bad and bad, and then we kind of have something that we call a little, maybe a little sarcastically in our house, the Hallmark heart change, where all of a sudden it's going bad, and all of a sudden in 2 minutes, it's like, oh, I get it, I see it, and you know, they're in love, and it all ends up happily. So you kind of got these love stories. You know, you think these stories are made, they're designed to play on your emotions. They're designed to get you to feel a certain way and then feel another way and draw you in, and that's what they do. But these love stories weren't created by man to manipulate us emotionally. These stories that we're about to hear this morning are stories that were spoken from God who became man and just spoke by permission whatever the Father told him to speak. These stories are authored by God himself. It's important to keep that in mind and to distinguish these stories. They weren't made up to hype us up. They came from the heart of God to illustrate truth, spiritual truth. And as we read these stories this morning, I'm just believing for that. Father, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, just move fresh through these stories this morning that would impart the truth of your love for us, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is not a three-point sermon this morning. This is just a series of stories. Story time. We're just going to tell stories this morning. And I'm just trusting that through the vehicle of stories, parables, that the truth, the revelation of God's love for you is going to come through. Again, these weren't made up by man. These are God's love stories. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told the father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the same time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields, working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, what was going on? Your brother's back, he was told, and your father has killed the fatted calf. We're celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And all that time you never even gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet this son of yours comes back after squandering all your money on prostitutes, and you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Man doesn't make stories up like this. We don't write stories like this. This is God's love story. And it's God's love story to get across a truth. First of all, one of the amazing things is you see the empathy that God puts in the story of the older brother. I'm glad he puts that in there. He understands how even grace can be looked at in a frustrating way, in a frustrating manner, but it's still grace, still there. As we look at the story, and you know, the story is called typically the prodigal son. But I like to think of the story as the prodigal's father. Because to me, that's the bigger story. He's got two sons, and the father's working both sides of this. The bigger picture is the prodigal's father. In fact, when he finally comes to his senses, he remembers his father. He remembers something good about his father. When he comes to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. What is he thinking of? He's thinking of the goodness of his father to his servants. So he's running the math and thinking, maybe if I could just come back as a servant. You know, what is he doing though? He's remembering that. You know, the scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of the Lord that it's remembering his goodness that makes our heart think maybe there's still hope. Aren't you glad the prodigal didn't run into the older brother before he ran into the father? What would that exchange have looked like? You're coming back home? Well, yeah, I'm thinking, just come on. You've shamed the family name. You've disgraced. Get out of here. Dad doesn't want to see you. I'm sure the older brother would have enjoyed talking on behalf of the father. And maybe you've had people try to talk on behalf of the father and things you're going through and things people have said. But no matter what anybody has said to you, I can tell you one thing about them. They are not the father. There really is nothing that can separate you from his love. Not about whether you did it, whether you said it wrong. There's a father who looks for us, who is looking for us to come back. Now, sometimes God's going to use you to show his kindness, to show his goodness. That's how we can be used. We can be used as a type of the older brother, or we can be used as a type of the father when we can see somebody down. Hey, God hasn't, the father still loves you. He's still for you. Don't give up. Keep going. There's still hope. I'm challenged by this story because the fact is we've been both. There have been times we've been just stubborn and rebellion, needing mercy, and there's times we've been critical and jaded by people who are getting mercy who might have hurt us. But either way, this story is a love story. It's a love story of the father. And when you think of the son, too, it's not like he just loved that rebellious child. He loved both of his sons. The older brother was angry, wouldn't go in. But what happens? His father came out and begged him. Wow. That's telling. He would not let the older brother sulk. He wouldn't just enjoy the party and, well, that's his problem. No. He left the party and he went out to the older brother because he loved the older brother. If he didn't love the older brother, he would have never went out to him. He went out because he loved him and he understood it and he listened to him. He heard his heart and he affirmed his love. And the story ends with the father's exclamation, your brother was dead. He's come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. That's how the story ends. It doesn't say that the older brother stayed out and never got it. I like to think that the older brother came around. You see a father securing one son in one arm and another son in another arm, loving them both from different places, but letting him know that he loves them, securing them both in his love. This is a love story made up by God to us to let us know this is what his love is like. And as we're thinking about it, again, we've been both, but we need to understand that this is the way he loves us. And, you know, of course, the older brother would have said one thing had he run into the prodigal, but the prodigal was thinking about other things too. You know, he could be thinking, man, if I go back to the father, am I going to hear, I told you not to leave home. I told you not to do that. I told you, but no, you had to go. No, that concern of, the shame. But there was no shame. As soon as the father saw him coming, he was right there and welcoming him back. But here's the cool thing when you look at this. It says, when he came back, he said that he put the ring. He returned home. He came, father, I've sinned against. But he said, get the ring for his finger, the sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we've been fattening. What does that mean to us in real life? What does that mean to you when you come back to the Father? When you get your heart right again with the Father? You know what that means? Because a lot of times you can be away for a while and you kind of come back, again, when we're a prodigal, what does that mean? Basically, we're giving God the silent treatment, We're not really praying. We're not really seeking after him. We're kind of maybe in our self-pity, maybe in our own world, whatever that is. But when you break out of that and you come back to the Father, there isn't the I told you so. There isn't the shame. There is peace. There is grace. There is forgiveness. In fact, I've had that where I've come back and I've just chosen to believe the prodigal father love for me and say, okay, Father, here I am. Mercy and grace to help in time of need. And just hearing his voice, hearing his, I love you, I'm for you. And just thinking, wow, it's been a while since I've heard that voice. And hearing the Lord say, boy, it's good to hear your voice again, Ed. It's good to fellowship with you again. Journaling fresh thoughts from the Spirit of God. That's what it means. In other words, when I'm coming back to the Father, it's not like I'm serving time back and working my way back up. No, when you come back into your fellowship with God, all the experiences you've had in God, all the things you've ever done for God, that's just all restored, and you just pick up where you left off. There's no purgatory. There's no thing you got to work through to get back to that place. You come back in repentance, it's restored. There's a restoration. You come back up with the same sense of, I don't want to say this in an arrogant way, but there's a dignity. There's a sense of the righteous are as bold as a lion. In other words, you come back with that same restored sense of righteousness again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your identity is restored. The ring is back on your finger. You've always been who you are. You may have strayed in your mind, but you're still who you are on the inside. And the Spirit of God reminds you who you are. That song says, you hold my head up and you remind me who I am. And that's kind of what happens when we come back. That ring is restored. Our sense of righteousness with God is restored. I have to start all over again. I'm back. Look how instant that is. The Father's love. In other words, there's just not a bunch of stuff you're having to make up for. There is stuff now. Certainly, when we sow to the flesh, we have the flesh reap corruption. There may be consequences that may linger as a result of sowing to the flesh. No doubt about that. But as far as your walk with the Lord, as far as your communion with Him, with God, that's restored 100%. And you can do all things through Christ from this place of that restored fellowship. So we see this in God. Praise God. But I would just want to say this too, that I think a lot of times we fear. I love how it says it here, just about how finally he came to his senses. You know, at some point you got to come to your senses and just say, God is good. He loves me. And I know I promised I wouldn't do that again, but I can still come back to the throne of grace and he'll forgive me again. Even he's told me to forgive. Receiving that mercy, receiving that grace. What is this? This is a love story of God's love for us as his children. These are two sons in the family. Praise God. And that restoration of that son back to the father. Luke 7, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces of silver to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? Then Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Again, this is another powerful love story. It's a story that Jesus tells, and it's a story that Jesus is in. So there's a real life story, and there's kind of a story within a story. But the fact that the woman had come and ministered to Jesus, that's real, all right? That's not made up. Jesus was a guest. And I think one of the profound things as we see this story, and sometimes, you know, it's also good to understand people. And sometimes the way they are appreciative or exuberant or excited about things, it can be easy to judge. But you know what? You don't know the story. You don't know the whole story. You don't know where they've been. You don't know where they've come from. There's a joy. There's a deep gratitude. There's a deep appreciation for things. You know, when you see this story here too, you see where, you know, this woman is obviously being ostracized right there. You can feel, I mean, in the presence. Jesus can feel the tension in the air. This is a public gathering, and there are teachers, and there's this well-known, notorious, immoral woman there. So quite a stage. And people are talking. The teachers are talking. There is noise around that. And what does Jesus do? He looks right at her in the midst of that noise and just says, your sins are forgiven. And he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He didn't say your love has saved you. He didn't say, washing my feet has saved you. He says, your faith has saved you. What she did was an expression of her faith, of her trust, of her belief in who Jesus was, who he said he was. Your faith has saved you. And you think about that. I mean, I like to picture the scene where you got all these people around there and he's just looking right at her. It's like he's just looking her right in the face. There is noise going all around. And he's saying, your sins are forgiven. It's like he gave her divine permission to not have to worry about what anybody else was saying in that room. The atmosphere of that air was condemnation and shame. And he said, your sins are forgiven. But they think I'm dirty. I say you're clean. But they reject me. I don't reject you. I accept you and I love you. Go in peace. Oh, there's something about peace. There's something about peace in the midst of that kind of noise. The noise of rejection, the noise of shame, when your Savior looks at you and say, you're forgiven. Go in peace. Ah, it's the best. I've been relating throughout this series just an experience where I had one morning where I just kind of woke up in the love of God. And it's like, whew. It's like you wake up in a revelation of something. And it was like there was such an amazing experience of peace in that place. But like I've kind of explained, it was almost like having, you know, noise-canceling earbuds. You put them in your ears and all of a sudden all that junk is just canceled from the outside. You can see with your eyes there's things going on, but you can't hear it. Somehow that sound-canceling technology blocks it out and all you can hear is what's going on in your ear. And it's like I woke up in a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the love of God. Where God is saying, Ed, I love you. And all that, any sense of defensiveness or bitterness or hurt or rejection, or that was just like canceled. And you're just seeing God like this. And you don't even, no self-pity, there's no defense, there's no need for self-pity, there's no need to defend, there's nothing to defend. It's all out there and God loves you. The love of God casts out the fear of man. If God loves you and you know it and you see it, man, if God is for you, what difference does it make when anybody else is going to do against you? He's for you. He's with you. And in that experience, I had that sense. But there was a cool sense, and this was the cool thing, because you're thinking, because you can feel thoughts trying to come in from the outside, but so-and-so thinks this about you, but so-and-so, it just doesn't matter. God loves you. God's for you. It cancels out that noise. And the cool thing about it was that love, there was vindication in his love. There's a vindication in that peace. It's not a chip on the shoulder vindication. It's a good. Thank you, Lord. That's all I need. All I need is this look. I need this. You're forgiven. I'm with you. I'm for you. I've forgiven you that $1 million debt. People may still talk about that debt. They may hang that debt over your head, but I'm not hanging it over your head. I'm not talking about it. I'm moving on. I'm moving on in my love for you. That's my love for you. It is a love story between Jesus and this woman that he forgave. And he gave her permission to be able to go on with her life, to go in peace. It's like another real story that happened in the life of Jesus with a woman caught in the act of adultery. And he said, where are your accusers? I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That permission to go forward with your life where there's mercy and grace to help. So what is this? This is a love story. This is a real story, and a love story Jesus tells within the real story where people are forgiven. They're forgiven. They ask for mercy, and they get it. They don't earn it. They just come boldly before the throne of grace, and they're forgiven. That's it. Ring back on the finger, robe, ready to go forward with the Father as you're moving forward in life. That's a love story of God's forgiveness. Now, these love stories are really ultimately culminating into a final love story. And this final love story is the love story that we are We are taking center stage, me and you. It's this one right here. They sang a new song saying, "You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then I heard again what sounded like a shout of a vast crowd or the roar of a mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb." There is love stories we've been told that describe God's love for us, and we're prophesied about the culmination of this great love story, the ultimate love story, the ultimate romance. Is Jesus and his bride. What an amazing day. What an amazing time this is going to be. And when you think about it, just the way this starts out, just about how out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You just take a gathering like this today. Man, we're different. We're really different from each other in a lot of ways. Our background, our life experiences. There's a lot of just different places that we're at. We're so different, so many ways. Yet here we are. There's a common denominator that brings us together. It's Jesus. It's the love of Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God that brings us together for a day like today. And it's this common denominator, even as after the service is done and we all go our own ways, someday there's coming a time when we're going to come together and we will never go our own ways again. That's the culmination. That's where this is all heading. That's where God's love stories is leading us to. The Bible says that in the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. This is future. This is eternal future stuff. What does that mean? He's going to show us the exceeding in the ages to come. I don't know. The Bible says we only know in part. One day we will know fully as we're fully known. But we speculate about that kind of God talk. I remember something that kind of triggered my thought of what that might look like. It was actually when we were doing fireworks, and Abby was a really little girl, and she was looking at seeing fireworks for the first time. And she saw this amazing firework, and she goes, "Wow, that's the best one. That's the very best one." And a few minutes later, "No, that's the best one. That's the best one ever right there." And a few minutes later, "No, that's the best one." It was like, wow. It's like there's glory and glory and glory. And you think you've seen it, and it's like, wow. In eternity, God's going to be revealing things to us, showing us things. But, and that's what the scripture says. Man, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's about to be revealed. But the cool thing of it was, as I was watching her watch those fireworks, there was a joy I had in watching her watch those fireworks, which made me think of that other scripture where, man, get a revelation of the Father's glorious riches of his inheritance in you. Not only are you going to be going through the ages enjoying and amazed at the glory of God, God's going to be watching you enjoying the glory of eternity. He loves you. You know, have you ever had that with a child? You know, you remember as a child you experienced something and you're excited for your child to experience it so you can kind of re-experience it through them different ways. Man, there's things that God is going to be taking pleasure in us as we enjoy the riches of eternity with him. But this is how it's going to wrap up. It's going to wrap up in forever and ever and ever with God. And as I just think about, I guess, the love of God, it just brings it full circle back down to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have something. They will have everlasting life, everlasting love, everlasting eternal future with God and the family of God. Believing on Jesus, it's a love story. It's a love story from beginning to end. God so loved the world. And when you can see yourself in the middle of this epic love story and see your part as you play a part in this love story, man, it causes you to remember and to be rooted and to be grounded. What you're doing down here is a vapor. It's tiny. This is your big picture. This is your life. This is my life. This, right now, like I said, we're so different in a lot of ways, and yet we experience a shared experience here with the Holy Spirit in worship, in the Word, in fellowship. We have this shared experience. We're going to go our own ways. We're going to go back with life, but we're going to have an eternal shared experience. Again, we're coming back together forever. And the same kind of cool things. Did you sense that? Did you get that? We're going to be getting that together forever with him. This is the love of God. This is the love of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, again, as we're going through things, as we're growing up spiritually in different ways, there is just a return to a refreshing of the love of God that we got to remember. He tells stories about his own love. He's told us what it looks like. He tells us how it's it can offend people. But he's there for the merciful. He's there to be merciful to you. And I'm just saying this now, as believers, we all need the mercy of God. We all need the grace of God. And sometimes you look at the older son, and the more you learn, the Bible says knowledge in of itself puffs up, but love edifies. It builds up. It ministers. So I just speak this to us as believers, where we've had knowledge and we've grown, to just keep that sense, that humble sense, Lord, this is not about what I know. This is about you. This is about your love. I don't want to be too proud. I don't want to be an older brother that I can't humble myself and receive that mercy and grace to help. All things are yours. Man, let that resonate. See the Father's love for you on both sides. Either son, we need to see ourselves, and we need to see the love of God for ourselves in both places, in that full spectrum. God loves you. He told us a story to describe that love. No matter where you are, there's a throne of grace, and that grace is sufficient for you, whatever you're going through. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the stories that you've given us to capture our hearts, Lord, fresh and anew, to be stirred up, to remember this is how you love us. You love us like the prodigal's father, like the older brother's father. There's a love that has hands that reaches out both sides and says, come back to the Father. Come back to my love. Don't let sin take you out. Don't let legalism take you out. But come back. Don't let knowledge puff you up. Man, just receive my love for you. You don't have to prove anything. There's no performance here. I just love you. Just receive that love this morning as my child. Let me love you. Let my love in. Let me just speak to your heart. Let me stir up even that first love, those first love days. I love you the same. My love for you hasn't changed. I'm with you. I'm for you. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that can get in between me and the love I have for you. You're mine. You're in my hand, and no one can take you from my hand. Your sin can't take you from my hand. I'm here with mercy and grace to help. Where your sin is abounded, my grace is much more abounded Don't stay away from me. Don't even think it's close. It's not. My grace is sufficient for the sin to forgive. My grace is sufficient to give you grace to forgive. My grace is sufficient to just keep you steady another day. My grace is sufficient, child. No matter where you are, no matter where you're at, I love you. I love you. While you were a sinner, I loved you. Receive that love, fresh and anew. Be strengthened. Hear my voice. I want to hear your voice again. I want a fellowship. I want to have a meal together again with you, child. I love you. Come back to the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. I just sense by the Spirit there's just a call. There's a call of the love of God back to simple fellowship with Him. Not to solve this problem or this relationship or that money. Just Him. Just hanging out with Him. Just enjoying His voice. Knowing you're accepted. But they say, I say you're forgiven, child. I say you're clean. They might reject you, but I don't reject you. Yeah, but they're so-and-so. But I'm so-and-so. I'm God, and I don't reject you. I love you, and I'm still for you. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning.